As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
This is always going to end with the Bidens coming in front of the committee. We are going to subpoena the family. I mean, we're putting the case together to win in court. Obviously, with all the opposition and obstruction we're getting from the Biden attorneys now, we know that this is going to end up in court when we subpoena the Biden. So we're putting together a case. And I think we've done that very well. We've shown the bank records. If I had subpoenaed Joe and Hunter Biden the first day I became chairman of the committee, it would have been tied up in court and the judge would have eventually thrown it out. Because at that time, the narrative was, well, they never took any money while he was vice president. He never had any communication with his business associates. And, the money never came from China. We've had to go every step of the way and prove the media narrative was wrong and the vice president and the current president lied. We have caught Joe Biden in so many lies, I can't even count the number of lies now. So we have put together a case that I think would stand up in any court of law in America, and we hope to hear from the Biden soon. But I wish the media would ask the president, what exactly did your family do to receive this $21 million that the House Oversight Committee has proven? He just continues to say, well, that's a lie. That's not true. We have their bank records, Maria.
Right.
Bank records don't lie.
No, nor do hips. No, I'm kidding. Well, that was James. We're going to start off like that. That was James Comer. And he's right. The media is uninterested. For the first time, the media is super uninterested in any kind of Russian adjacency or Russian contacts or
Chinese.
Don't forget the Romanian. Yeah. I mean, who are we missing?
Ukraine.
Oh, Ukrainian. They're not interested in any of that. It's amazing. I mean, what happened to the all right, first off, welcome to the show. I think we're all exasperated by the news cycle. I would rather than discuss another day to go another day talking about how the media is ignoring all of this. I would rather saw my own legs off and use them to beat people. I'm not joking. I would. It'd give me immense satisfaction. And it would be a distraction from this fecal NAMI that is the news cycle. Golly. Because the media is, they're not going to cover any of this stuff. Of course they're not. Because it's Pravda. This isn't a media. It's nothing more than just really ultimately at this point, I think just propaganda. So welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Your hateful curmudgeon. She's not lovable today.
No.
And no, I don't want love. I just want fire. That's it. And always going to be with you. Listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program. I've been fighting a cold for 2 weeks. So if I have a tissue that comes up, I do a radio show. It's a simulcast. So if you're going to bitch that it doesn't look like Fox, go watch Fox say the same stuff over and over again. Okay? All right. So are we good? We got it all? Is it all understood?
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Yay. All right. So all of this. Plus, I mean, we have I got some notes on the economy. I got a bunch of stuff to get. No. We got to talk about how mean the Republicans are to go after Joe Biden with all of this stuff. At some point, what they're going to come up with is a giant Santa sack of money that has a to and from tag on it, like a Christmas present, right? And it's going to say to Joe and Hunter from the Russians. That's what it's going to say. Or to Joe and Hunter from Xi Jinping. Love Xi. That's how he's going to sign it. Because that's at this point, I mean, you know, they got the bank records out. What was the media trying to say? I'm pulling up this Politico piece. Oh, yeah. You know Cain.
Yeah, they said that no payments went directly to Joe.
That's right.
Didn't go directly to Joe.
Did you see the reader note that they put on the Politico thing?
No.
Oh, yeah. They have a, but the people are disputing it now. I'm loving that. Loving that. But it's true because this is, it goes into your bank account. It's in your bank account. Well, it didn't say that it was to Joe specific. What are you saying? Like it's an error? I don't understand their argument here. What are they trying to say? It's in your bank. Cain, if I give you money and it's in your bank account.
Well, which of my 20 LLCs did you give it
right.
to?
Right. Yeah. Which? Yeah. Yours. All of them say Cain's LLCs.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. And they were paying. I mean, this is, it's just, it's crazy. No. We can't. It didn't actually technically say to Joe. Man, they're hanging on everything. Everything. Now, I will say that there was a question. What was it? When Peter Ducey, he was asking the president this question. Because remember, Biden's been going out talking about his climate stuff, his energy stuff. So, you know, he's out there talking to people and he's got the White House press pool with him. And so there's going to be a couple opportunities for reporters to ask questions. And you could just hear Biden's inner monologue because he's just saying it, basically. But Peter Ducey asked a question about this whole thing, the business, Hunter, all of it. Listen to this. He was not happy.
There's this testimony now where one of your son's former business associates is claiming that you were on speakerphone a lot with them talking business. Is that what?
I never talked business to anybody. And I knew you'd have a lousy question.
Well, why is that a lousy question?
Because it's not true.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It's not true. So you're saying Devin Archer's a liar? I mean, your son's business partner that you were on all these emails with?
And
that your son's own emails and texts actually corroborate? Yeah, it's a lousy question. What, because it makes you look bad? It's a lousy question. No one in the press is talking about this. No, they wouldn't ask him a question like that. You had the damn Weather Channel who had him sitting on the side of the Grand Canyon. And they didn't bring this up. I mean, you're just talking about climate. Just shut up. No one cares about your grifter energy scheme. Nobody cares. We want to know why were you merching out the VP's office? Why were you doing all of this? And are you still doing it? How high does it go up? Like some of these questions. We're going to talk more about this. Also, 2024, the first debate is 10 days away. I know. It's getting ready to get more annoying. Mm-hmm. You guys ready for that? Are you ready for the period of more annoying? I don't care who is for whom. I don't care. Do you know why I don't care? Because I'm getting a kid ready for college. I'm fighting off a summer cold. I'm rehabilitating a dog that's going through some stuff again. You know, I'm busy. I don't have time to sit here and wipe everybody's butt over what primary candidate they're going to support because it's a primary. And, you know, we won a big giant war back in 1776 that said we don't have to kiss no ring, kiss no butt, bend no knee to any man on earth or woman. You know, in case you got a Thatcher, otherwise I'm not interested. But we have primaries. We have primaries because we live in a republic. So I'm all for it. But I cannot stand this whole, if you're not for my primary candidate, then I hate you. Oh, go to hell. Nope, I'm done with that. I'm done with it. Show up, vote for who the nominee is in 24, or get out of the game. Go ahead and go side with Democrats. I just have no patience for any of that. You don't have any. I'm about to take a flip-flop off and go to town. That's what's going to happen. So tired of it. I had two friends that spent the entire day yesterday arguing. I left the text conversation. My final word was, you guys are blank and annoying, and I left. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not even dealing with you both. I'm not even dealing with it. I'm not even getting into the third person who got mad because they weren't part of the group text, and they were for somebody entirely different. Would you, honestly, sidebar, I probably would have like been harder on that friend because they said, well, I kind of like what Christie's been saying. What? You mean, you know, the guy we were making fun of as being in an Austin Powers movie? Come on. I just can't stand it. So we got this debate coming up in 10 days, right? I think everybody needs to show up. I don't care who you are. I don't care. And people are like, well, Sun Tzu. I've read Sun Tzu a frillion times. It's a short book made up of bullet points. I get it. But this isn't about, stop acting like a primary is a war. Shut up. I can't stand this. Stop it. You know what that is? That's strategy from pencil pusher desk jockeys who are trying to live their combat fantasies through political machinations. Shut up. Done with it. Show up for the debate. You know why? Because a lot of stuff has happened since 2020. We got a lot of new hindsight from the country being locked down. Do we not? Right? Do y'all probably got some questions with that newly acquired hindsight, the post-2020 hindsight, with everything that we are learning now and still learning and have learned. That is why everybody owes it to voters to show up. You want the job? You show up. Showing up to a debate is like showing up to the first day of work. If you don't show up for me, piss on you. That's how I look at it. Because this is about the voters. Debates aren't about the candidate. Who got that narrative out there? What is up with this worshiping narrative about politicians? Debates are about you, the voter. Have people forgotten their place in this republic? Because that's what debates are about. They're about you, the voter. And voters have every right to expect candidates to show up and answer their questions. You have every right. I have every right. This is about us. And, you know, we get cheated enough by the left. I'll be damned if I get cheated by Republicans because some people don't want to show up for debates. And if you don't like how harsh I'm being about it, then don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Because that's just how I'm done. I want to be catered to by politicians. No. You kiss my ring. Right? Everybody get out your rings. These people need to kiss them. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm so done with this backwards thinking that we have. You know, I'm done with it. So I want to see people show up and answer questions. So it's starting to get fiery because you got people in Iowa. You got people in New Hampshire. I realize that the wives of politicians are not politicians themselves. And I don't like to, you know, because I think they're there to help their husbands. I don't like to criticize, you know, wives not being media ready, especially if some obviously have more media training than others. But I was listening to, because I actually liked Vivek Ramaswamy. And then he started like flip-flopping on all these issues. And I don't know where the hell he stands on a number of things, because 2 weeks he said one thing and then now he says something else. And then he says this and that. He hates Trump. He likes him. He thinks he's a rioter and spire. It's crazy. But his wife was speaking, I guess, in New Hampshire. And I'm just like, she's not your strongest advocate. I mean, she's probably a brilliant doctor. I think she's a surgeon. Not your strongest advocate. Because it just sounded weird. Like how she was... I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know. I hear stuff and I'm like, get a surrogate out there. We got a lot to hit. We got to talk Iowa. We got to talk New Hampshire. We'll hit some of that. I'm not going to obsess over things unless you need to know. We'll talk more about the Biden bank records. We'll get into some of the economy, some culture, all of that good stuff as we get moving. Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Someone made the mistake of asking me why we were playing Good Vibrations for Marky Mark, and it's just because Gen Z did not know that Mark Wahlberg was Marky Mark from Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Kane and I, our minds are blown. We can't even deal with it. Even Steve knew. Steve knew, and he's like a millennial. He knew. So, all right. So first up, let's get to this. Half of the entire, this makes total sense. Half of the entire global population is predicted to have a mental health condition by the age of 75, a study says. Dana's own personal study says most of them have it now. Let's see here. The Hawaii fire. I don't know if you've seen what's been happening on Maui, but it is heartbreaking. So the president has sent military aid to help with the emergency response. They issued a statement saying all available federal assets on the island are being deployed to help quench the fire. They're also conducting search and rescue missions. They're having to evacuate citizenry, a lot of tourists as well. Navy Third Fleets are supporting the response and rescue efforts. A lot of people fled to the water. There was a video of someone landing in a plane, and it was like they were landing in hell because there was fire all around the airport. That was kind of a terrifying video to watch. There were people, reports of them leaving, having to leave their cars on the road. And then later you can see the cars are all burned out. I mean, it is very, very, very bad there right now. So we'll continue to update you. D.C. City Council has slashed police funding. And now their members want more police on the streets. Let's see. When you cut funding for new hires, for recruiting efforts, for wages and benefits, and the first thing that gets cut is training, which is the whole reason that criticism erupted in the first place, what do you think is going to happen? Shocker, shocker. And of course, some of the stories that we've heard as from that crime that's been plaguing the city, carjacking, shootings, etc., pretty horrific. Maui, there were six. There were a number of confirmed fatalities. They're still tallying them, so I don't really want to give a firm number. Hundreds of homes feared destroyed, and as I was saying earlier, the Coast Guard has been rescuing people. Moody's has cut the credit rating of 10 banks, and they're warning that six more could face a similar fate. But the firm insists that the U.S. banking system—it's not broken. Kane, you don't believe that, do you? You sure don't, do you? You don't believe that. Yeah, they say that it's not broken, so no worries, no bigs. It's just, you know, it's just they're having a little hiccup. Yeah, we're going to talk more about this here coming up on that specifically. One prosecutor, which we're going to discuss, that was fired yesterday by Governor Ron DeSantis. You know, the one that allowed a child molester to walk, who had raped a child. And he went on to shoot two Orlando police officers because she wouldn't actually... make sure that he stayed behind bars, at least until the trial. So that Soros-backed prosecutor has blown a gasket at the press conference that she had yesterday. We're going to dive into all of that coming up. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
This is an outrage. 3 years ago, I was elected by the people of the Ninth Judicial Circuit to lead this circuit. And yes, to do things unconventionally, to do things differently. But I didn't hide. I didn't say that I would do things and I didn't do them. I didn't say I wouldn't do things and not did them. I did exactly what I said I would do. And that is what you want from an elected official.
Actually, you didn't do what you said that you were supposed to do. I mean, you were the prosecutor. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you, bottom of this first hour. So that's, oh man, it's erupted into a full-on war. I will totally take this battle, thank you. Because it's insane that anyone, I mean, you've got everybody from, oh my gosh, who is, I was tweeting about some of this last night because it just enraged me. This is that prosecutor, Monique Worrell, who has been positioning herself as some kind of hero because DeSantis fired her. She's the Orlando area state attorney, and this is the second time he's removed a bad prosecutor. And when I say bad prosecutor, I read her hits yesterday. To give you the highlights, she's let literal child molesters go free to reoffend. Yeah, that means they molested more kids. She's allowed murderers to walk by either reducing or dropping charges entirely. And I find it weird that, you know, when people sit here and they talk about gun, quote unquote, gun violence, and she's one of them, why are you allowing violent offenders who literally killed someone? You're reducing like charges down to what? Either manslaughter or if they're in a drug crime or something and they've killed someone, they don't even pursue one of the charges and they let them walk. I mean, I'm not making this up. This is an actual thing. Deton Veal was one of the guys that was arrested in March 23 for he raped a child. I'll just put it bluntly. He raped a child. And he was out on probation for another offense. But yet they still, and it was a felony offense, and he shouldn't have actually been out on probation. And he cut off his ankle monitor. And so police showed up to serve a warrant on him, and he shot two of them. And that was on August 8th. That was August 8th, 2 days ago. And then you had Lorenzo Larry, 17 years old, shot and killed his pregnant girlfriend. He had been arrested in May of 2022 because he was illegally carrying a concealed firearm, 17 years old, so he's a prohibited possessor. He brought it on school property, and he wasn't charged for any of that, so he walked and was able to shoot and kill his girlfriend. He was released after all of those arrests. And in fact, he wasn't charged with anything until after he killed his girlfriend. The other previous felony charges. Mm-hmm. I mean, then there was the guy that she allowed to, I mean, this guy, Jasir Dobson, go read about him. J-A-S-I-R, D-O-P-S-O-N. 2018, he invaded a home in Florida, Orange County. He held a gun to the homeowner's heads, assaulted them, beat them, all this stuff. He was charged with multiple counts of armed burglary with a fire, tons of stuff, false imprisonment. That's a 10-year mandatory minimum. Max is life in prison. And so she declined. Worrell, in 2021, when she assumed office, she refused to prosecute five of the charges. And she had adjudication withheld on the remaining, meaning they just didn't do anything. So this guy's walking free, and he can still go and buy a gun and carry it. He's not a prohibited possessor because she didn't pursue the charges. Isn't that something? This is who this prosecutor is. I mean, she has dropped murder charges, premeditated murder charges, grand theft, assault, rape, molestation. In fall of last year, there was a teenager, an older teenager, who was captured on film shooting and killing another person, first degree murder. You know what her office did? They petitioned and reduced the charge from murder to illegal firearm possession. And that was it. He was captured shooting and killing somebody on tape. This is what she does. This is what she does. Child pornographers. There was, she reduced, there was a guy, Randall Fredericks. Look this guy up, R-A-N-D-A-L-L, Randall Fredericks. He was arrested in 2020. He had tons of disgusting, horrific child pornography. Now, in August of last year, he was charged with 40, he had 45 counts. But by spring of this year, her office reduced it all to just 10. Now, every count should carry minimum mandatory 15 years. His sentence was reduced to just 130 months. I mean, this isn't hard to find. I mean, yesterday on air, I Googled her name and just like criticism of the cases. This is the stuff that comes up. And there are a lot of Democrats that actually criticize her. But what she's doing, you know what she's doing? She is making herself out to be like this hero. Audio Soundbite 17. Listen to her defend herself. She thinks she's done nothing wrong letting all these child predators in that out. Listen to this.
It's also important to note, today is the day before school. My children have to deal with this news the day before school
then
starts.
Then you shouldn't have been a crap mother.
That is evil.
And a bad prosecutor.
It is evil. There is no justice in what's being done.
There's no justice
even
in what
for
you
the
do.
People who are celebrating the fact that I'm removed.
Yes, because you're horrible.
If there is any humanity in you at all, you should know that this is bigger than just me. Mm-hmm. There is a family who is being harmed today because of political attacks. Mm-hmm. This is a political
issue. She's trying to make it today a race issue, too. What is that out of the, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I haven't even been reading you everything. What of that, of the criticisms, does it sound like any of the criticisms that I just made about these cases? What does race have to do with any of those? I mean, for real. What does race have to do with any of that? The shameful thing is that She drags her kids into it. Oh, it's the first day of school. You know what? What about the first day of school for the kids that some of the guys that you let walk molested and raped? Spare a thought for them. Don't use your kids as a shield. Don't engage in terrorist behavior. Don't do that. I mean, I said yesterday she was a disgusting excuse for a public official. She's protected child molesters, murderers, drug dealers, rapists, gangbangers by dropping charges, reducing charges, and allowing these violent offenders to walk the streets freely. She says, oh, it's a loss of democracy. Yeah, what you do is a loss of democracy because you deny justice to victims. That's the true horror in this. She denies outright justice to her victims. And then she says that it was all manufactured. Listen to this, audio soundbite 16. She's like, oh, this was all manufactured.
Let's talk about why cases get dismissed, right? Mm-hmm. We are making sure that when cases are brought, that they are brought within the context of the law. So I'm not going to feed into those political narratives because we really? Know that the governor has been
Other
searching for
prosecutors have criticized her for this because it's political. There is, we're not morons. Don't sit here and take us for being stupid. Don't sit here and act like we're dumb somehow. Because we all understand how this works. She reduced these, I mean, a lot of times it's that restorative justice narrative. And keep in mind too, and I know sometimes I think people hear it so often, it doesn't take effect. When you talk about someone being quote unquote Soros funded, and this is not a fake thing. You can go to Open Secrets and you can see this. There are a number of different groups to which his political, I guess, you know, fundraising arm, which is the Tides Foundation, donates to. And she gets a lot of donations from groups, particularly one that is that promotes restorative justice. Now, this is the rotten theory that has infected our justice system. This is why you see a rise in recidivism. It's why you see a rise in crime, because they believe in reducing penalties because they think that is what's going to help criminals reform. But it doesn't. It actually leads to more criminal behavior and more victims. And of course, you're not going to be getting big donations because they donate quite big. I mean, you got a lot of billionaires on the left. This is the difference between the left and the right. The right doesn't do this. The right does not, as all the only people who ever did this were the Koch brothers. And even they were kind of judicious in how they allocated cash. You don't have these big billionaires on the right that funnel all this money into these different pet projects the way you do the left. There is nobody who is the equivalent of Soros on the right. And then it's not just him. There are other people who may not be as rich as he is, but they're rich. And they do the same. And they believe in things like restorative justice. And so they funnel big ticket donations into the campaigns of these prosecutors. They know where it counts, and that's how they direct their money. That's why you have such a well-financed machine on the left. I've talked about this for a good 15 years. I've spoken to so many people on the right all across the country. I go to different fundraisers. I've gotten mad, and I've literally told people to go. I've literally told a couple of donors to go do something unflattering to themselves, trying to raise money. I pay my own way because I feel like it's, you know, because they're broke. The groups are usually broke. And you're trying to raise money. And some of these people don't understand it. They're like, well, they want to fund stupid think tank white papers. They don't see the importance of things like battling restorative justice. They don't see the importance of getting out, having a get out the vote operation. And it's because there are some intrinsic differences between the right and the left. The right's very, I mean, they're very responsible with their cash. And they want to know what the return on their investment is. And there's a little bit of a difference there in how much they're willing to part with and how much the left is willing to part with. So some of that plays into it. But also the right is very much more individualistic. And that's something else to take into consideration. Whereas the left is very comfortable doing hive mind things. I have a problem literally doing group workouts. I don't go to gyms where I don't go work out in a group. I can't stand it. I can't stand group activities. I can't stand them. I feel like I can't get away. I have like a couple of weird tics. Like I can't do small talk in small groups, right? Hate it. And I also cannot deal with group activities. I just have such a hard time with it. So I don't know. I look at this stuff and I see that there's things that the right could do, but this is what contributes to how the left has, how she got where she did. And she only got into office, what, in 2021? So some people were like, well, what took him so long? What do you mean, what took DeSantis so long? Stop that stupid bot crap. I'm so done with it. You know what? She got into office in 2021, and literally within months, she was already getting her hand slapped. There's a process, and they got her out as soon as they could get her out. So I don't know why people can't celebrate firing, you know, bad prosecutors or bad people in government. I mean, I know maybe perhaps people weren't used to it because Fauci stayed there so damn long, but I ain't going to hear about this. All right, we got more to get into. We got to Dane's stupidity. One of the funnier sound bites. We're going to play that for you here coming up as we get moving.
When you grab a can of Black Rifle ready to drink coffee, you're helping to raise $1 million to benefit veterans through the Boot Campaign. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Join forces with Black Rifle and the Boot Campaign now through the end of the year, where every can of ready-to-drink coffee you buy will contribute to making this massive donation possible. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it is the Berry Mocha, the Vanilla Bomb, or Espresso Salted Caramel, every can helps fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community. And with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Four majors brought to energy investment. Siemens Corporation laid off workers who were making wind turbine parts and put the plant in Iowa and Kansas into what they now call, and they refer to as hibernation. I hibernated in Hawaii. Iowa for a while, but...
If you had...
What did he just say? He sounds
like...
This
is our clean energy investment.
He sounds like the Swedish chef. Smorgasbord. 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 It's Joe Biden. What is it? This is literally what it says on my audio list. Corna Baker, Smorgas Heshman. That's some Swedish chef stuff, dude. That's exactly what that is. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. Corner Baker, Smorgasheshman. I have to be honest. My pick for audio for Days of These United States was between that one, and we have some choice audio, and then also, where's the other one? When Trump says he couldn't be in Iowa. Which one is that? Okay, yeah. Play this one. It's funny.
How can my corrupt political opponent... Crooked Joe Biden put me on trial during an election campaign that I'm winning by a lot, but forcing me nevertheless to spend time and money away from the campaign trail in order to fight bogus, made-up accusations and charges. That's what they're doing. I'm sorry, I won't be able to go to Iowa today. I won't be able to go to New Hampshire today because I'm sitting in a courtroom on bullshit because his attorney general charged me with something.
You know, you probably wanted to say more. That's all he could limit himself to. Oh, yeah. It's like, whenever his voice starts going, da, 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 you know, it's going to be some smart aleck. Oh, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Because he's now fighting with Bill Barr. Bill Barr is intriguing because he, in the beginning, remember, didn't people think he was an ally? And then I hate the palace intrigue stuff. I can't stand it. I don't have the patience to do that. I mean, I know what needs to be done. I just don't have the patience to do it myself. I'd be the worst politician ever because everyone would hate me. I'd just be slapping people, slappity slap. I'd be in jail. So We have a lot of Biden audio that we're going to dive into here coming up. Our second hour, we've got all of the latest with, I was reading this piece. Is this NPR stooge? And they're like, we just don't see the influence peddling. We just don't see it. I mean, you could get slapped in the face with a money bag of $20 million, and you would. I still don't see it. I don't know. I mean, it's in his bank account, but I just don't think it was to him. Good grief. We're going to discuss that as well. Also, U.S. grid operators are warning that Biden's whole power plant crackdown is going to screw us all. I got that for you, too. More on Law and Order, because yesterday we had this. It was a weird story. The FBI shot and killed this guy out in Utah because of what he said on Twitter. Yeah. I'm just wondering, didn't Madonna once say she's going to blow up the White House?
Oh, yeah.
I got a couple questions. Can we ask those, or is it, you know, too much 1984 Orwellian? Is it a thought crime? Stick with us.
We need leadership from President Biden, period. Democrats are looking bad right now in New York State, and that's unacceptable when we have to win at least 4 congressional seats to take back the House. So hopefully the president is listening.
Mm. And so that's Jamal Bowman. He's talking about immigration, particularly illegal immigration, and how New York is just overrun. Interesting, because it was a sanctuary state, and New York City particularly is a sanctuary city. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour with you, Dana Loesch, your lovable curmudgeon. Listen coast to coast. Join the streaming. You can stream the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, or watch it on Channel 347, DirecTV. I was looking at some of this because Mayor Eric Adams has said that his administration is straining to keep up with the demand of supporting thousands of asylum seekers. We need to stop calling them that, because they're not asylum seekers. Not everyone is an asylum seeker. And there's a whole process to seek asylum that's not this. He's been calling on the federal government for more assistance. He says they're at capacity. I don't know how New York City is at capacity with 57,000. They said there's apparently 57,200 currently in the city's care. And 100,000 have arrived since last spring. And a portion has come from Texas because of Governor Abbott's. He's been busing people to sanctuary cities because they should pay their fair share. It's not fair for all of these cities like New York, et cetera, to sit here and say that they're sanctuary cities and then expect all of these Texas border towns and other border towns in other states to deal with the overwhelming influx. I mean, as Texas taxpayers, we're paying millions for this stuff. I mean, you have border towns that are paying dearly with their resources. They can't sustain it. It's completely unfair to enact these policies and then demand that everyone else actually pay for it. It's very easy to be generous with other people's resources. And this is just, it's fake, really, it's fake kind of advocacy. I mean, it's fake philanthropy. These people are acting like philanthropists, and they're acting as though, oh, we care about the downtrodden. Remember everything that you heard about, oh, the Statue of Liberty. I mean, the inscription on the Statue of Liberty. Well, apparently the moment they get into a crunch, oh my gosh, then look how quickly they change. Look how quickly. You had Arizona and Texas that bore the brunt of all of this. And now everyone else is getting just a taste of what border states have dealt with for over a decade. Over a decade. And I think it's fair's fair. They had 3,000 illegal immigrants that were being housed in Midtown Manhattan. And like I said, I'm not calling everybody asylum seekers. I think that's such BS. Not everyone even qualifies for it. And so Adams says that they met with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. He's not going to find. Mayorkas said he would appoint a liaison to the city to coordinate on migrants. People who entered illegally, but And so the residents have been taking matters into their own hands. I saw this. I don't know if you, I saw this morning. Actually, this is one of the first stories I saw. You know, Lady Gaga's dad is mad because apparently his neighborhood is one of the ones where that's totally overrun. And He's upset because he says that the people who came in illegally that are all on the sidewalks and out in the streets, they've been catcalling teenage girls. He's been saying that the women and little kids are worried about either walking down to like the convenience store or the market or anything like that. And so now as people get a taste of it, that's now they're changing their tune. Interesting. So I don't know. I mean, Adam seems like he's one of the lawmakers that I think came around first. I mean, I'm happy to see other people finally recognize this, but this isn't enough to make Biden or Harris change their positions. I mean, when they saw what was happening in D.C., when people were being sent to D.C., they didn't change their positions. So, you know, there's nothing that's going to make them walk back on this. Nothing. All right. So we've been watching this. We'll continue to have more on this law and order with immigration. This is what I don't understand, this whole thing with Jack Smith and Twitter. Did you see this story? Smith's office got a warrant to look at Trump's Twitter account in January. Musk's the X. It's not really Twitter anymore, is it? Mm-hmm. I still have to call it Twitter. It's not. I don't.
It's Twitter.com still.
Yeah. It took them 3 days to respond. They got fined $350,000. They're going after his. First off, like Trump would be. You think he's going to be planning something, direct message? That's so stupid. This is so. It's dumb. But they fined Twitter $350,000. I got to tell you, Jack Smith looks like a cokehead. He looks like, or a tweaker, or both, doesn't he? He looks gaunt. He looks tweaked, perpetually suspicious, paranoid even. Just weird. And Trump said that they were looking at his Twitter account. They got a warrant for that. This is odd. A search warrant. They wanted Twitter to produce data and records. For what purpose? I don't know. And apparently they didn't let him know about it. For what purpose did they think he, because remember they came back, the FBI had said over a year ago, and this is just in January, so over a year ago, even before this warrant was issued, remember the IG report, or not the IG report, what was it, one of the special counsel, I think it was even J6, they had said that social media was not used in actually planning anything. Remember that was a big point of contention. They were saying that it wasn't used to actually plan anything. So I don't know why then they would feel the need to go and somehow you think they're going to find something in his direct messages. Just it's just odd. Odd. And I mean, here you have everything that we got going on, and we got going on with the border. You know, really quickly, speaking of Adams, I'm waiting for the fight to kick off between the White House and Adams. Is it going to happen? You think that'll happen? That would be really helpful for all of us, you know, before an election, to have a major city mayor, a black Democrat, because it's important to the left, fighting with Joe Biden. I think that'd be helpful. I'm all for it. Send some more up there, Abbott. Send more people up there. Just go ahead. All right. So the House Republicans, they released bank records showing over $20 million in payments to the Biden family. The media is hell-bent on arguing that, well, you can't actually say that it went to Biden, even though it was in Biden's account, because it didn't say this is to Joe Biden for bribes. That's what they're trying to argue. And of course, you know, Biden's big O interview with, of all things, the Weather Channel. They didn't get into it. All these meetings, all these phone calls, the dinners, everything. This Comer said it looks they're going to get a subpoena together. They're getting evidence materials for subpoena. It looks like right now it's over 20 million. That's not the final total, because there's still, I mean, who knows how much it is? I would imagine it's probably way more than that. And they're saying that some of it includes oligarchs from Kazakhstan, in addition to Russia, Romania, Ukraine, China. And I told you yesterday how one Kazakh oligarch had wired approximately $142,300 to Rosemont Seneca, Hunter Biden's firm, and literally that exact same amount was sent to a New Jersey car dealership for a Fisker sports car for Hunter. And then he decided he didn't like the Fisker, so he traded it in for a Porsche. And that's the, and it always, all of the payments came right after dinners or meetings with Joe Biden. So like when they met with Yelena Batorina and she had dinner with Joe Biden, that same week after, they wired $3.5 million to Rosemont Seneca. And then another several million after a dinner at Cafe Milano. So it all of it is all, it all was timed perfectly. They got 8.1 million from China, 6.5 million from Ukraine, 142,300 from Kazakhstan, 3.1 million from Romania, 3.5 million from Russia. The figure from Kazakhstan stands out because one day after they got the that money, that's when Biden, it was literally the next day, Hunter Biden transferred the exact same amount to a New Jersey car dealership. And that's when he got the Fisker and then traded it in for a plug-in hybrid Porsche. And he had to have told someone this is what he wants, right? Yeah. How like crass is that? This is the exact amount I need for my Porsche. And this family apparently has no self-awareness about the influence trading. Now, the defense that the Bidens gave, as you remember, was, oh, it was just the illusion of access. But there's no direct evidence to Joe or Jill. But it's just all in their bank accounts, all in their millions of LLCs. I mean, clearly they benefited. And apparently even the grandkids got some of this money. It was transferred through a funnel of a labyrinth of accounts. And so, you know what's so funny? Joe Biden has only ever held public office. And he's worth millions. How is this? How, when you are you've only ever worked in the public sector, which I think you should not be eligible for office if you've never worked in the private sector personally. I would be willing to amend that. But how, if you have, he's been in office longer than I've been alive. He's only ever worked in government. How are you a multimillionaire having only ever worked in government? It's like Nancy Pelosi. She's only worked in government, right? She's a multimillionaire. How does this happen? $1 million question. We got more to come. We got headlines on the way as we get moving.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So let's see. We'll talk about this coming up. Disney's partnered with a gender fluid man to promote Minnie Mouse's girls' clothes in a campaign called Let's Get Dressed. And it's a grown dude who is like teaching young girl. Oh, okay. I got a problem. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this. So also this. Let me put this in. I am shocked at this prison sentence. This comes out of Rochester, Minnesota. This Rochester man, the crime occurred back in January, but he's finally sentenced. This guy, 20-year-old Rochester man, is going to serve 180 days in jail and up to 30 years of probation in a case involving the rape of two juvenile girls. Now, I look at this, and in Minneapolis, you got an ex-cop who got sentenced to nearly 5 years in the George Floyd case. Okay, why does a rapist get, how many days was it again? 180 days in jail for raping two minor girls. I got questions about the discrepancy of sentences here. This is crazy. A state school's chief is seeking answers on the district's reported ties to the Chinese government. Parents Defending Education's Little Red Classrooms, its new report, is looking into some worrisome information about China's reach in U.S. K-12 schools in so-called Confucius classrooms. The group says that they've uncovered contracts that show the classrooms or other Chinese government-backed programming are still in operation in a number of schools throughout the U.S., including Tulsa Public Schools in Oklahoma. They said that especially the programming of the class, the curriculum of the class, they've asked the district to turn over any of this information so that they can evaluate it and kind of get, you know, a little bit of accountability and some answers here. Very interesting. Also, a couple of other things to make sure we get to. This resort, you know, the global boiling update, a resort had the second longest ski season in its 70-year history. Yeah, there's, and in fact, some of these resorts have been seen longer than typical ski seasons. But I thought, no, oh, never mind. I guess I thought, you know, the world was boiling, et cetera, et cetera. I was just, we're just wondering. In addition to this, let's get into this. I got a couple of other things. You have to forgive me because I got some stuff freezing up here. They're saying that in Georgia, this came out the other day, Fulton County Courthouse in Atlanta, they're saying that a Georgia grand jury is expected to indict the former president. You knew there was another potential indictment coming up out of Georgia. So I've told you before that this is always a possibility that something like this would happen. So they're kind of people are speculating as to when that's going to drop. How much you want to bet it's going to be on a Friday or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be on a Friday. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Biden surrenders another U.S. embassy, the sixth one in under 3 years. Yeah, great job. This one has to do with the U.S. embassy in Niger. This because of the coup and the ongoing conflict. And as you know, embassies are considered U.S. sovereign territory. Any embassy for any country, it's considered that country's sovereign territory. So now this embassy, it's the sixth one. They've abandoned it, essentially, following the atrocious withdrawal in Afghanistan, which they're still saying, we'll talk about that coming up, that it is it was totally fine. That it went according to plan and that they have that there's no issue. Fauci and Susan Collins received 58 royalty payments as NIH collected $325 million from companies. A watchdog group says a record of payments for taxpayer-funded inventions should help determine the truthfulness of Fauci's congressional testimony. There's a lot of questions, and not Susan Collins, Francis Collins, correcting myself there. But they said they received 58 royalty payments from these companies. So coming up, law and order and that Afghanistan withdrawal. The Biden administration is trying to redefine their weak points. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
I think you have some very good people, and you have some people. I mean, I have a problem with the debate for another reason. I wouldn't sign the pledge. Why would I sign a pledge? There are people on there that I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have certain people as, somebody that I'd endorse. So they want you to sign a pledge. But I can name three or four people that I wouldn't support for president. So right there, there's a problem. Okay.
So why? Okay. My question is, why is it a problem for him, but no one else can say that? None of the other. Fairness is fairness, right? Loyalty and all.
Chris Christie did say he wouldn't sign a pledge. He wouldn't sign it for Trump.
Yeah, no one gives a rat's ass about Chris Christie. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you.
Oh, what's that?
Bottom of the second hour. What's that?
Oh, what's that?
What's a what?
Oh, what's that?
Huh? Gave you the Shorzy, huh? Huh? Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares. He's, I said, a rat's backside.
Got it.
Kane. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Chris. But I do think it's funny. You can't have it both ways, dude. You can't have it both ways. Come on. You can't be like, oh my gosh, you got to pardon me, or you got to do this, or you got to sign this pledge for me. But then if you're asked, you can't go, no, no, thanks. I'm not going to sign it for anybody else. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. Not at all. So I got to say, the pledge and the debate, I'm telling you, because he says he's not going to sign the loyalty pledge. It's Trump saying he's not going to. And then so he and Christie have been fighting, too, which I think is funny. Chris Christie is trying to. I told you I had a theory about this. Kane, do you think my theory is more true now that you see them going back and forth? Because I feel like Christie was dispatched by the establishment types to out Trump Trump.
Yeah.
And he can be a jackwagon when he wants to be. So I'm just, it does kind of seem that way, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
So when Trump was in New Hampshire and he was like, oh, Christie, he's eating right now. He can't be bothered. and then someone called Christie someone in the audience called Christie a fat pig.
I have that audio.
Okay. Can we, yeah, please play this. This is funny.
Who's good? No, Christie's, he's eating right now. He can't be bothered. Sir, please do not call him a fat pig. That's very disrespectful. Don't call him.
See, I'm trying to be nice. Don't call him a fat pig. You can't do that. So now, because you're not allowed to do that, and therefore we're not going to do it, okay? We want to be very civil, right? So
now, Christie tweeted, if you, quote, if you had the guts, you would show up to the debate and say it to my face. Okay, I feel like from that reason alone, now I'm separating this because Trump said he didn't know if he was going to go to the debate. And I think he's cheating voters if he doesn't, because a lot of stuff has happened since 2020. The debate isn't about you. It's about the voters. And this is basically you're not showing up on the first day of work. And so I got problems with anybody who says that. But secondly, I need you to show up and say it to his face. Because I want to see it. This is a little personal for me. I want to see that. Because it's funny. Come on. Guys, if I cannot have a little bit of fun in all of this, this primary got started way too damn early for all of us. If I can't enjoy a little bit here, well, that's just too bad because I'm going to. I need him, Kane, to show up to say that. Just that alone. Show up and be like, yeah, you're a fat pig. And then I want to see what the response would be and then the back and forth. What Chris, are you doing?
Christie did respond just, I saw this an hour ago on Twitter. If you want to hear any little bit.
Oh,
of this.
Boy, here we go.
So we can come to expect from Donald Trump. And that's why I don't even know why real smart folks like you, take him seriously. His conduct is reprehensible on any number of levels, both, while he's president and most particularly in the time after he's left the presidency. And so I don't care what he thinks about the way I look, quite frankly. And what I suggest to him is that they install, although I know it's possible, maybe they couldn't, a few more mirrors, but not the magic kind, at Mar-a-Lago and Bedminster, so we can see what he looks like.
I'm not going to do that, but here I go. Whew. It's funny. I need this to happen at the debate, guys. I need this for me. I need this to happen. It's too funny. So the back and forth with the primary. Let me pull up my notes. I'm sorry. Because I was going to talk about more. But I feel like I'm being mean if I keep talking about Christie. The first Republican debate is coming up in, 10 days? And the candidates that have qualified include the guy who can't kick gas. Yes, Mike Pence. Well, it's true. Let's see. Obviously, Trump, DeSantis, Scott Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Chris Christie, some guy from North Dakota, Doug Burgum. I know you're all like, who the hell is that? I don't know. Oh, sidebar. I saw, Kane, have you seen the weird primary presidential commercial running here in Texas from some dude?
No.
Hang on. Where's this guy's name? Oh, why did I not take this down? Some guy, he's a primary Republican candidate. He's a ginger. He kind of looks like Martin Short in costume. And I don't know what his name is. I can't remember what his name was. You see if you can find it. He's like some, his ad consists of him walking around, and it's, his ad's way better than Mike Pence's. And it consists of him, I don't know who this guy is, walking around, looking at charts that are floating in the air. That guy? He's the ginger. Did you find him?
No.
Google redheaded presidential candidate Texas and see what happens. I don't know. He's like some, is he a software guy? I think he's a software, I don't need everybody on the internet telling me. It's okay. Kane's on it. Although Lorraine will probably tell me in 5 seconds. No, she's dealing with everybody in YouTube chat. So I saw this because there are people running that I'm like, oh, you're in this? Like, what? You? So you got that guy, Pence. No, that guy in Texas didn't qualify. I think he's just some dude who ran an ad saying he was running for president. I don't know. So the Doug Burgum guy, the people who haven't qualified are boring Asha Hutchinson. The Miami mayor, who else? You also have Francis Suarez. He's the Miami mayor. And you also have a bunch of people who haven't. Larry Elder didn't qualify. Perry Johnson. Oh, Will Hurd. He didn't qualify.
That's the one that keeps popping up, even though I'm putting redheaded Texas in here. Yeah. Will Hurd still keeps popping up.
Will Hurd isn't a ginger. So he's, I don't, oh, is it, who is the, I don't think, so. Let me pull this in. Oh my gosh, it's Perry Johnson. Okay, so not just Texas. I don't know who the hell this guy is. Anyway, this guy. And he said that he's confident he's going to make the debate stage. Somehow he was able to reach 1% in one poll, but that's it. And he's saying he's going to give copies of his book to anyone who donates to his campaign. So that guy. I saw his camp. He is too damn old. And no. Can we not with the 70, upper 70s? Because in his ad, he was walking around weird. I don't know who he is. I mean, nothing against him, but no thanks. He seems like a nice guy, but that's so. There are a lot of people who seem like nice people. Doesn't mean they should run for the office of the presidency, right? Anyway, so there's a handful of people that made the debate stage. And Pence barely qualified so far. So it would be Pence, this Burgum guy. Oh, he's in his second term as North Dakota's governor. I don't know. I'm too busy looking at Chris Christie and everybody else sucking up all the energy in the room. Or the gossip in the room.
This is his ad. Is this real?
Dude, it's real. Is it the floating graphs?
Yeah.
Charts and graphs?
It's all the fat-faced people in Congress. Like, hold on. I'm putting this in Slack.
Wait. It's probably his ad. It's probably his ad. I saw it, like, I don't know.
I've seen it posted, like, four different times now.
I don't know that. I don't know if that's actually his ad. I don't think. Well, maybe. Who the hell knows? I don't think it is. It might be. I don't put anything past anybody. This is a weird primary. It's a weird primary. So, and then you got Haley and Scott. Haley and Scott are weird because it's both from South Carolina. I don't know. And Christie said he was asked, you know, if you get on the debate stage, how are you going to do this, etc. Because if Trump isn't there, which I think is lame. I think it's completely lame if he doesn't show up. Like I've said before, this is like your first day on the job. And we fought a war to not kiss anybody's butt or ring. And those are two separate things. And it's like you're cheating voters. A lot has happened since 2020. We have a lot of hindsight about lockdown, pandemic. And I think that a lot of people have questions and they deserve to have those questions answered. And they deserve to have an opportunity to ask them. If you can't show up for the first day on the job and demonstrate to voters that you're serious about winning their favor, just because you won once doesn't mean that you're owed again. That's not how this works. We're in a republic. We don't owe you. You owe us. We're the voters. We want our butt kissed. We want our ring kissed. That you bend the knee to us. That's how this works. And a lot of people have forgotten their role in this republic, which is maybe why we've slid towards progressivism as fast as we have. I don't know. But it seems pretty damn statist to not remember the order of things. So everybody should be showing up. But Christie was like, yeah, I'm going to go at all of them. I mean, you're going to have stop and have a snack at some point, man. I mean, stop. It's a lot of energy to do. I'm not being mean. Don't chide me.
And by the way, that is Perry Johnson's real ad.
That's his actual real ad.
That he played during the Super Bowl.
He played that ad during the...
Yeah, he paid millions of dollars.
The only reason that he probably even got to 1% in any polls because people were like, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot is that guy. I bet, after that ad. How much you want to bet? I bet it was. Right. So, 2 weeks for the debate. I think the first debate is going to be annoying and you're not going to learn anything. I'm predicting it now. It's going to be annoying and you're not going to learn anything. Nothing. It's going to be people slapping each other. I think you'll see some personality contrasts, obviously, but do you really need to see it? I don't know. I think as it whittles down and as the primary goes on, that's when people will be able, you'll be able to see a real measure of that with independents and moderates. But we have a Florida man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So a couple of stories here. I really don't want to share this one. Can we stop putting things in places they shouldn't be when you get ready to go to jail? Now, this is in July, but I'm just now reading about it, so it's new. In Flagler County, Florida, a Florida man was arrested because, I love how this is described. He was hiding drugs in his personal place. Yeah. So the sheriff's office said that they pulled over this individual for speeding on July 11th. They started talking to him. They noticed he seemed nervous. He smelled like marijuana. He kept claiming he didn't have anything. Kane, don't you dare. He kept saying he didn't have anything illegal on him. And he was brought into jail for driving on a suspended license. And that's when they found out that he had a dozen small baggies hidden in his rear.
Dozen?
Yeah. More than a dozen. Oh. Including baggies of crack, 8 small baggies of heroin, 2 small baggies of molly, a small baggie of marijuana, 12 Lortab pills. I don't know what that is. And 12 oxycodone pills. He's being held without bond. Oh, man. I love, though, they said it was in his personal place. His rear compartment, as Juan says. What did you call it, Kane? Go ahead. Go ahead and share it with the class.
His personal prison wallet.
There you go. Oh, golly. There you have it. Oh, boy. So I don't think that that's the best space to put things that your body can absorb. You know what I mean? Like, we had one guy had fentanyl last week. Baggie of fentanyl. That can kill you. Like, all of that's, I'm just saying, that just seems, of course, that's why, you know, the guy got arrested. He's a Florida man. I really don't want to talk about this woman. This is in Lakeland. So, in Florida, So in Texas, there are a lot of moms out there and grandmas that make money every fall. They make things that are called mums for homecoming. It's like their side thing, right? They make these mums that you wear for homecoming, and they're ridiculous and huge, and they make a lot of money off of it. So people, you know, make money like with a side thing in a number of different ways. This woman, it became a side thing, but now it's full time. She makes jewelry out of breast milk, and if you don't have that, then she'll use your cremation ashes. Oh, I'm gonna vomit. Good for her to do that. She's a professional neuroscientist, and she specializes in concussions. She quit her job to stay home with her kids. She makes $30,000 a year by doing this.
What?
Yeah. $30,000 a year. So she was looking for a way to commemorate her journey when she weaned her son. I mean, I, you know, also fed my kids similarly, but I didn't make no jewelry out of it. That just seems weird to me. I'm sorry. I mean, if it works for you, that's good. But I think it's just odd. That's okay. You know, it's free country. But the cremation thing, have you seen that? Like, people actually make like a jewelry out of somebody's ashes. So she's doing that too.
The cremains?
Cremains. Thank you. And she'll use hair. Like, she apparently, like, one of the jewelry pieces was someone's hair, and then the cremains were the leaves on the tree, and the hair was the trunk. And I just know. Okay. I mean, if that helps you, then that's, you know, and Sheriff Grady Judd had sent her a note saying, you know, congratulations on your business. I'm just saying that I think that's a lot. I wouldn't want to wear no body on me. Like that, right? I don't want to wear nobody's ashes on me. There's no way I'd do that. So this, I don't know. Is that mean? I don't think it's mean.
No.
She makes $30,000 a year that way, though.
Right.
Which then makes me think that maybe I should like it and then do it myself. Would you wear that? Are you going
to? I'm not sure what the process is. I mean, I'd have to see what the damn process is first before I make that decision.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. All right. We got a lot more on the way. Hour 3 coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show, or as a regular fill-in for about 8 years. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. We did go into the rise and fall of empires. Where are we in this? I want my country back, too. I love America. And I know that there's going to come a time where no nations exist and there's a new earth. Are we getting there? I think it's difficult to say that we're not. Check out The Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while.
What
a lot of people
hell?
Dying, but nowhere near the chaos.
Dude.
And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free
world.
Is this
a deep fake?
No, it's not a deep fake.
Okay.
Really our president.
I don't like it when I have to put tinfoil on. Because it's just uncomfortable and unflattering. Let's be real. No one looks good in something that shiny. But this is not helping me. What am I supposed to do with this? I want to say the part that we're not supposed to say out loud. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. And you can listen coast to coast, stream the radio program, or watch the simulcast of the radio program on everywhere. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. And so... You're not supposed to say that stuff out loud, I thought. Right?
Yeah, that was a conspiracy theory, like, just a couple years ago.
Yeah, you were, like, people who talked about having concern over world order were mocked, and you weren't supposed to have any kind of, you were making it up. Oh, it was a Republican conspiracy. Conservatives were made fun of. Libertarians were made fun of. Oh, gosh, you guys were totally made fun of. Now you have President, you know, Sleepy McFalls upstairs saying it right out loud. It's true.
That's my favorite name for him.
President Sleepy McFalls upstairs?
That's my favorite name.
Mr. and Mrs. McFalls upstairs' his son? Yeah. And then his Hunter, his son, Hunter snorts him coke. McProstitute. Yeah, I don't know. I could just make up names for the rest of them for the remainder of the show. So there's no other way to really interpret what he said. I mean, you could say, oh, we got a lot of other, maybe there were a lot of other progressives that were elected in other governments, but no, not really. Not really. I don't think so. It is very telling. I just don't think he cares. He's just the avatar for the people calling the shots. They just needed a figurehead in office, and he's dumb and ambitious enough to do it. That's what this is. Joe Biden is not a smart man. He just doesn't care about looking ridiculous and looking like a desperate grifter, and that's been his strength for his entire career, because a lot of other people at least have the ability to feel shame, and he doesn't. And I think that's his strength. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if you know how his oldest son passed. He's going to tell you a lie about him coming home in a flag-draped coffin anyway. He doesn't care. And we live in a society. It's a society that used to be too polite to confront people publicly about this, like back in the days of yore. And now you just can't confront Democrats about it because you're being mean or a conspiracy theorist or a racist, or you're making fun of his stutter when that has none of those things have anything to do with this. But, you know, hadn't stopped them. It is pretty wild. So he said that part out loud. He said it. He said New World War. He said it. What are we to make of that? I have some questions. I got a lot of questions about that. Now, on the issue of the Afghanistan withdrawal, did you hear the State Department spokesperson, Matthew Miller? Audio soundbite. Let's see. 8. Listen to this. This is unforgivable.
What about, do you still believe that this was a success? Because they have a real hard time when the administration calls this withdrawal a success. Do you still believe it was a success?
We believe it was the correct policy choice. But
was
again,
it a
but no, hold on. We believe it was the correct policy choice. But again, I would never want to quibble with a family member who has suffered such an enormous tragedy.
But I think it's, I think that word is.
I'm going to move on to someone else.
I'm going to move on to someone else. It was the right strategy, according to whom? Because they had every military advisor was telling him against this. I mean, just going back to the time when Trump was in the White House and he was telling everyone He wanted to have a full withdrawal of it. The question was never whether or not we were going to withdraw. The question was always about how and in what time frame to best maximize the advantages that we, or the ground that we had gained there. And when Trump was in office, he wanted to take everybody out. Let's just do it one fell swoop. And he was told by military advisors, and many of them were still there telling Joe Biden the same thing. He was told, yeah, that's really a bad move. You don't want to do that. That's going to be a really bad play because you're going to leave a power vacuum. And then everything that we saw that happened after his disastrous withdrawal, they were saying that that was going to happen if he went that way. And he ignored every one of them. And I have to say, even one of them was Mark Milley, Mr. Read My White Rage Books. I mean, one of them was him telling him this is a bad move. Biden did it anyway. I think they wanted to take that optic from Republicans. I think they thought that it would be worth it to rip that optic, that talking point away from Republicans and say, no, we were the people who actually did it. But ultimately, they shouldn't have, not in the way that they did. Because remember, they moved. You have two separate, I mean, technically you have two airports. One was the air base in Bagram, and then the other was the Hamid Karzai International Airport there in the middle of the city center in Kabul. And why they decided to have basically their exfil at Hamid Karzai is insane to me, because Bagram was secure. It was outside of the city limits. They could control it was easily controlled. As a strategy, I have no idea why they made that decision, or if it was just pencil pushers in the Biden administration that made that decision, because I just honestly, even if they're far left, I don't see anyone who is in any kind of military leadership making that call. Lloyd Austin, when he was speaking about it at the time, and I think I even remarked on this, he was speaking as to the evacuation from Hamid Karzai, but he never really got into why they made the call to leave Bagram, because you had, you know, soldiers there, Afghan soldiers there, that were waking up and they were like, my gosh, the U.S. counterparts are gone. And they got all their air support from U.S. counterparts. And you lose your air support, you're losing a lot of leverage there. So they decided, let's go to the populous city center and let's have it all happen there. That sounds like a good idea, right? Just disastrous. They gave up that Air Force base. They end up going to Hamid Karzai International Airport, and it was very difficult to control your entry and exit points. Just, I mean, you saw the people falling off the plane. I mean, nobody can forget that video. Disastrous. Not to mention, you know, I was talking with some friends, and what, you know, the 13 Marines that were lost and all of the ones that were wounded. You know, a friend of mine was telling me that, you know, the lieutenant and some of the other commanders that were there, everyone, all the leadership and military was where they were supposed to be. They were injured by that blast. They were there right by the 13 Marines, 13 service members lost. But they knew that this terrorist that detonated, that this guy was a threat. They knew he was terrorist affiliated and they knew he was a threat. Technically, from what I was told, they could have taken him out days before. But that order hadn't been given. It is one of the most heartbreaking and infuriating things I think I've ever heard. And that is such a weak point for them. And like I said, I really do believe that Biden and Democrats thought that they were going to take that talking point and be able to rally their base with, look, we were the ones who brought everyone home. We were the ones who ended it. But it ended up being disastrous for all of the reasons that military advisors had said that they had told him would happen. And they just didn't really answer any other questions about it. They don't really have any of these. They don't really have any of these missions under Democrats that have gone well. The Pentagon, as Kane had noted, the Pentagon had blamed the State Department. They said that it was the way that they were handling the evacuation of the citizens and even our allies there in Afghanistan was so chaotic. And Lloyd Austin, the only thing that Lloyd Austin said, and I do remember this, when he was speaking as to why not Bagram, why Hamid Karzai Airport, he had said that, well, it was a State Department call. And that was like the closest to it. And that's what made me thinking, I mean, even if Lloyd Austin or Milley are like left, that is something that I don't think their previous training back when, you know, it didn't seem like it was as politicized. I don't think that's something their training would have allowed them to do, you know, to make that kind of a call. And I'm not, I don't like Milley, and I don't want to be seen defending him, but I'm saying that that's how bad this move was by the Biden administration, because you even had these cats who were like, yeah, this is going to end disastrously. Austin had said that they provided input, and he said that he told the State Department that officials were being cautioned by the Ghani administration there in Afghanistan, that if they withdrew all their Americans and their what they call SIV, those are the people that were working with our soldiers, that their government would collapse. It wasn't secure enough. And keep in mind too that even leading up to this, the timing was bad, because they were told not to do anything in spring, because the Taliban, they go through their opium harvesting, then they go back up at the mountains, and they come back, and then they fight each other during spring. Isn't that how it goes? Yeah. They fight each other during spring. Then they have their opium harvest, then they go back in the mountains, then they come back, fight everybody again, opium harvest, go back up in the mountains. That's kind of like the cycle. And that's one of the reasons why Trump also was told, hell no, you should not take anybody or do anything in spring, number one. If you're going to do anything, wait until everybody's in the harvest or they're back up in the mountains. Don't do this. And then the Taliban, remember in the months leading up to this, or actually, I think it was like maybe 2 months leading up to this, they were using WhatsApp there were stories, I think it was the Independent that had one. They were using WhatsApp and telling and looking for sympathizers in different Afghan villages and saying, you need to come out and surrender to us. We're taking back over. And they would like roll in, and there wasn't even as like so much as any resistance, because they were telling everybody on WhatsApp going up to it that, hey, we're coming, just get ready or we're going to kill you. So they were able to essentially take over by just warning that they were rolling through their village through WhatsApp, that they were going to roll through and you better bend the knee or we're just going to take you out. And everyone knew that they were coming up to Kabul. Everybody knew this was going to happen. I mean, hell, they were all over WhatsApp saying this is going to happen. That came out in the days preceding this disastrous loss of life in Kabul at the Karzai Airport. It was just one of the craziest things. And the administration acted like it was totally ignorant of this. Like, they had so many red flags and so much warning about they could have paused this at any point, but the government in Afghanistan collapsed because Biden withdrew too quickly. He withdrew at the wrong time, and they ignored literally terrorists on WhatsApp that foreign newspapers were reporting about. They ignored all of this and did it anyway, against the advice of all military counsel. I mean, I think that alone deserves impeachment, but, you know, I digress. We got a lot more on the way as we move towards headlines. Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P-11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P-15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P-15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P-15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P-15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Virgin Galactic flight unfolded. Six individuals were aboard the VSS Unity space plane, including a mother-daughter duo, to venture to space together. It took off from New Mexico shortly after 11 a.m. ET. They said that the landing was like smooth as butter. It was a suborbital flight. So the trajectory allows passengers to experience several minutes of weightlessness, and you get to see the Earth's curvature, and then it goes back down. I do actually think that's kind of cool. But at the same time, I'd be like, why can't I be like up at the space station having robots serving me drinks and stuff? And like, that's what I'm thinking of when you're talking about space tourism. This is just a ride. That's just a ride. Let's be honest about what it is, okay? Disney is posting mixed results for the quarter, plagued by streaming woes, restructuring costs, They recorded a $2.65 billion in one-time charges and impairments, dragging the company to a rare quarterly net loss. Also, by being dumb and running their company dumb, I mean, that also contributed to all of this. Just saying. So apparently, and I just had this headline up and I just totally lost it. Burisma told, or they were told, rather, not they didn't tell. They were told to remove a picture of Joe Biden from its website, according to emails. Burisma was told to take them down from their website. The Ukrainian energy firm, yeah, that we have no idea why Hunter Biden was on. This happened in 2014. Then VP Biden's counsel, Dimitro Lambros, told Eric Schwerin, a business associate, to make sure that you move those Joe and Devin pictures from their website, according to emails.
Scrub it.
Yeah, we can't have that. Scrubbity scrub scrub. Got to take it out. Can't have that at all. No, sir. So I'm like, okay, well, it's, you know, clearly you're trying to hide something, obviously, at that point. Okay. American Academy of Pediatrics is announcing a formal review of what they call gender-affirming care, like the puberty blockers and the abuse of hormones and the unnecessary, totally unnecessary mastectomies, all of this stuff. So they've announced a review of this. And that's, you know, obviously a win for people who've called for such a review. I can't even believe that they have no studies, none, into the long-term impacts of this hormonal abuse on prepubescent kids and young adults. There's going to be some serious problems coming up in the next 10 years, 20 years for folks. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store coming up towards the bottom of this third hour. Back after this.
Abolish the IRS. National reciprocity. She could go on forever, but she's only allowed 3 hours of the day on air to talk to you. Download the Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform to take us with you wherever you go. The Dana Show.
COSA makes wind towers that's going to go into turbines made by GE Verona. Excuse me. I mispronounced it. Vernova. In Florida, New York.
I got some questions. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think now we're at the point where every single time he speaks, it is, it's going to be a gem. That's the president. It's him versus the teleprompter. And I dropped one here in Slack, Kane, our friend Larry. This is, him versus just basic understanding of mental health and just health in general. Listen, this is, gosh, I can't.
It's awful hard when you're having problems and you think you have a mental health problem to ask for help. It's really hard. There's no difference between having a mental health problem and breaking your arm or your leg. No difference.
Yeah, I love the comment. Can I just read this one comment from one of the replies? Can I, Kane?
Well, which one?
I'm going to say it. I'm just going to do it and then I'll apologize if anybody gets, no, I'm not actually, because it's just the facts. So one of the replies was, yeah, I just don't feel like chopping off my penis or balls when I break my arm. It's a slight difference.
That's true.
Slight. I mean, I know that he's in his addled way trying to say that you're supposed to be able to seek help when, you know, if you have an issue and it's a health issue, mental health issue. Yes, but at the same time, this also is the party that has kind of denigrated it. And I think denigrated mental health issues by the way that they've approached things, whether it's, you know, the Social Security beneficiary issue or firearms. And I think that they've really have stigmatized it to the point where people do feel nervous about seeking help because it's thought that mental illness is assumed that everyone's violent and they're going to kill everybody. And that's so not the case. And you can't successfully treat mental health if that's the approach that you have. And that's kind of how Democrats, that's sort of what they've promoted by with policy response to certain issues. So I'm just saying, it's just a, you know, little weird. So I, you know, I don't know. Now in this, I wanted to share this with you because I saw this pop up. I want to get into some of the 2024 stuff real quick because this has to do with debate stuff. So this thing that's going around about the upcoming debates, I've got issues with this too. So the debates are going to be on Fox. And the thing that I'm reading here, it says, it's going around on social, and it's apparently from the info about how the debates are going to be held. It says Fox News has secured exclusive media rights to the Fox News Republican primary debate with partners Young America's Foundation and Rumble, taking place at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, airing on Fox News, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be on August 23rd. Now, here's what they say. You are hereby advised to respect their exclusive rights to the debate by not broadcasting, transmitting, selling, licensing, giving, bartering, exchanging, or otherwise disseminating the debate or any portion thereof, regardless of whether or not the Fox News supplied you the debate or if the debate or excerpts were supplied to you by other sources. Permission to use the debate is only granted if the following restrictions are adhered to. An appropriate unobstructed on-screen credit during, they said that has to be introduced with audio credit. So you have to say in the debate on Fox News Channel, during the 7-day period, you may not air more than a total of 3 minutes of excerpts in any one program, including video and audio. The excerpt footage must be taped directly from their telecast or obtained directly from them, and it cannot be obtained by any other source. That includes like Twitter and places where a lot of creators pull stuff from. They said that under no circumstances may an excerpt of the debate or portions thereof be used beyond the 7-day period, blah, blah, blah. No archiving is permitted. The excerpt may only, I already have major problems. The debate excerpt may only appear in regularly scheduled network, blah, blah, blah. You may use the debate or excerpts thereof on the internet only by way of video embed function, which sucks on the sucky Fox News video player for that. That's true. Please advise your affiliates. Okay, I got two double fingers for this. This is unacceptable. This is the Republican Party event. It's not a Fox event. It's the GOP event. If the GOP wants us to talk about any of this, then this doesn't go. I got major problems with this. This is not how you do this. Because this is what in the hell? This is way more, Kane, is this not crazier than anything you've ever seen with any kind of footage like this?
It's even worse than Super Bowl. I mean, when you put it all in perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. That is way worse than Super Bowl. And the thing is that the whole point is to reach people. So our show, the radio program, terrestrially, we have somewhere around like 10 million listeners across the country.
Just in radio, yeah.
Okay, so that's a bigger audience than that than Fox or other cable
right
entities. If you're trying to, as the GOP, reach people, because not everybody's going to watch these, and you're trying to reach people about your candidates, this is not the way you do it. What does that limit us to playing, Kane, of the debate? This apparently just came out.
So if we can only have 3 total minutes of content over a 7-day period as we disseminate the actual debate, I mean, think about that. The question and answer is going to be about a minute or two each. So we'll only be able to get one, maybe two answers?
That's really
with questions?
Lame. I mean, I'm like, how does that... you're not able to... I mean, what is the purpose of it then? Then why the hell even do it? Why even do it? I mean, this is it means that you guys wouldn't even be, I mean, we wouldn't even be able to play like some of the best answers or some of the worst moments or something like that. You wouldn't be able to do that at all. This is, it's bizarre. It's bizarre because, like you said, this is way worse than Super Bowl. So what are they, and then what would happen? Like if we air this, or if we air more than what is allotted, they will come after and demonetize us on YouTube. Fox will file a DC, they'll file a complaint.
I say we call their bluff.
I mean, that's worse. That's not good. This is not a good way to approach this.
And when it says no archiving is permitted, what does that mean?
And why the hell is Rumble going along with this?
What? Rumble?
Yeah, they're a partner with us. Why the hell is Rumble going along with us? Yeah, they've partnered with them for it. See it on there?
So something tells me that they're trying, I guess, to maximize the monetization of this.
Which
would lead me to believe that they're having some financial issues over there at Fox.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no purpose for me in covering it on air with these stupid restrictions.
This almost shoots the whole thing like in the foot. Like, why would they? It doesn't make any sense. Like, they would want the most amount of eyes and ears on their content. I don't get why they're restricting this specifically. Yeah.
Let's see if we can get the GOP chairwoman on. Okay. I'm going to tweet her too, because this all just came out. Because this is, you can't broadcast it again in a 7-day window. Like, what happens if somebody gives like a really like earth shattering answer on something, and we're all having a discussion, and I couldn't even refer to it? No, that's not how this goes. I get that some people want to be like king of the conservative sphere, but that doesn't belong to any cable news network or any stream or anything like that. I mean, this is shooting yourself in the foot and creating controversy for Republicans when you don't need to. Where's the GOP leadership here? And why the hell is Rumble doing this? Look, I'm telling you what, I don't trust any entity or anybody, not even Musk, that comes out and says, oh, this is free speech. And this is, I'm going to tell you, I've been doing this long enough. Every damn one of these people, every entity will turn into a grifting op if you give it enough time. That's why I stay in Dallas and hate everyone. Makes this better that way. But yeah, that's a problem. So we'll see if we can't get her on there. And I'm really disappointed in Rumble. I don't dislike Rumble, but I'm really disappointed to see that the so-called supposed free speech, we're not going to do anything, you know, whatever. We're going to, you know, we're going to partner with this and make it to where you can't even talk about it. Jiminy Christmas. This is, yeah. And then, like Kane said, if you call their bluff and do it, you know that they're going to be like takedown notices. So that's, I mean, you don't.
I'm curious to see how far they're going to go.
Why do people make goofy calls like this and make enemies out of allies? Like, if you're, especially if you're an entity that gets a lot of, you know, content from content creators online, why would you make it to where I've got speculation, but so a couple of other things I want to touch on here, and I'll update you if that changes, by the way, but that's not acceptable. The Walt Disney Company, they partnered with this transgender influencer who dresses up like a Minnie Mouse and teaches young girls how to put makeup on. The guy's name is an alleged transgender influencer. He appears in a promotional TikTok video for Disney Style. The channel focuses on promoting quote-unquote Disney-inspired makeup and outfit tutorials, DIY projects, et cetera, all things Disney and fashion. They have a YouTube channel of the same name. And he thinks he's gender fluid, and he promoted a Minnie Mouse themed clothing set with a red dress and yellow shoes and all this stuff and a bow. And he showed himself getting dressed and applying makeup, and then was also talking about how to dress and put on makeup, like teaching young girls. Well, young girls don't need as much makeup as that guy is, so this makeup tutorial's already off. This is probably why, Kane, they posted such a huge loss. Like, one of the reasons why. Just why even need to do that? And why? And they're including this on their official social channels. So why even do this? I mean, this is, oh gosh, I've got questions. We have, I know, I'm going to let that simmer. We've got questions. We have more to come as we take a tip our hat to our sponsors who help bring you free radio. And we appreciate them, our partners here. It's our friends over at the Liver Health folks. They're new to the program. And they, you know, they had this piece on how the latest data from the American Heart Association indicates that people that have fatty liver are 3.5 times more likely to suffer heart failure than those without. So you should take care of your liver. Your liver is important. It does a lot of stuff for you. And I mean, like, I think it helps with like 500 key functions every day. So give your liver a little bit of health. It gets overlooked for everything else. You throw a lot of stuff at it, cholesterol and alcohol, toxins, statins, you know, all kinds of stuff. And a lot of people have a sluggish fatty liver, and it makes you gain weight, lose energy. Liver Health Formula can assist with that. There's been over 2 million bottles sold in the U.S., and it's an all-natural supplement that contains 12 clinically proven botanicals that help to recharge and protect your liver. And it's proven to help fight free radicals with antioxidant properties, combat oxidative stress, promote cellular damage repair, reduce fatty tissue deposits, as well as block toxins from entering. Manufactured right here in the USA. So try Liver Health Formula at GetLiverHelp.com/Dana and get a free bottle of omega-3 as well. That's GetLiverHelp.com/Dana. Get on the road to better liver health.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
People sometimes say, why are you doing that? Imagine if for a long time Roosevelt and telephones came along and said, we're not going to help invest in telephones. Come on, man. I don't know what we're thinking.
What the hell? So he's like, if Roosevelt and telephones came along and they said they were not going to help invest in telephones? So he's talking about throwing taxpayer dollars at, he's talking about crony capitalism. Yeah. He's talking, well, not even that. He's talking about basically using taxpayers to finance unproven and riskier green energy schemes. I mean, he has his own Solyndra. Which one was it? You guys remember Solyndra under Biden? I mean, $570 million. And Joe Biden oversaw that one too, by the way. And that was the failed solar startup that ate, like, I mean, over half a billion of our taxpayer dollars. Biden oversaw that at the time. I mean, his 2.3 infrastructure thing, when he rolled that out, that's pretty much the same thing. And they also did the same thing with Abound Solar. They used another $500 million taxpayer dollars wasted. That was a solar startup. They got a little over $400 million in federal government backed loans. That was from the Department of Energy. And yeah, went up. That was, I mean, gosh, Fisker. Nope. Now that's the thing that Bidens are involved in. And they got a $529 million Department of Energy loan guarantee. And they didn't reach any of the milestones for their luxury vehicle. They didn't reach a single milestone. And then they had all kinds of recalls because there were so many tech flaws. And then they stopped production because their battery manufacturer filed for bankruptcy. And then everything got sold to a Chinese company.
Don't forget about Proterra, the electric bus company that just filed bankruptcy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we spent $500 million on something that we ended up giving to the Chinese on behalf of the Bidens. So yeah, that's what he's talking about. So there's this idea that, oh, well, you know, telephones worked.
Why is it when government picks winners and losers?
They pick the stupidest loser.
The losers, right.
I got this great idea. It's a car that's made from just wax. And it's like, you know, it's go anywhere. It's a great idea.
Great in the winter.
Great in the winter. You know, it'll keep you cool in the summer, maybe. Super, super affordable. All right. Today in stupidity, Kane, what do we, although oh, that boy. Really could qualify.
I know. There was so much from Biden. It gets to the point where it's like, I really feel bad.
Don't feel
him.
Bad.
I feel
Kick
sorry
him.
For him.
Get it.
Would you stop it? But CNN was asking independent voters if they supported the U.S. involvement with Ukraine and Russia. And this is how that went.
If you think the United States should be supporting Ukraine in the fight against Putin, raise your hand.
Chirp, 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 nobody. Chirp.
Nobody. Literally
Bueller.
Nobody.
Bueller. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody wants that.
Decent cell phone from CNN.
Yeah. Yeah. I was joking about the, I'm going to share this meme. I'm going to use it as the main image for our headlines that go out tomorrow for you email, for you newsletter subscribers at Chapter and Verse over at Substack. It's the Mike Pence fuel pump. I think in a debate, with the fuel pump won that debate. I don't know if you realize that, folks. Yeah. So, all right, folks, I'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll end the week out strong. God bless.